Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and I'd like to welcome you to a special three-part podcast series on U.S. and EU regulation pertaining to electric vehicle batteries. In this, I'm joined by Pamela Fierce-Walsh. In episode one, we'll look at U.S. foreign entities of concern for EV battery production. In episode two, how the Inflation Reduction Act impacts these issues. And number three, the EU battery regulation and battery supply chains. I know you'll enjoy this special series. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Pamela Fierce-Walsh. She's a prominent voice in critical mineral supply chain issues and a recognized leader in policy development, ESG issues, and international affairs. From 2017 to 21, she powerfully drove the reorientation of U.S. diplomacy towards prioritization of mineral supply chains as the U.S. State Department's senior advisor for critical minerals. She coordinated the Departments of Commerce, Defense, and Energy as they worked together to support national security and economic council agendas. In June 2021, she played a key role in shaping the Biden administration's 100-day supply chain review on building resilient American supply chains to improve competitiveness for clean energy and technological advancement. She regularly advises senior U.S. officials, private sector actors, and foreign counterparts. In 2023, Pamela joined the Board of Impact, a nonprofit organization focused on empowering communities by greater governance of the natural resources they rely upon. She is currently the CEO of PFW Advisory, an LLC based in Washington, D.C. In this episode one, we look at U.S. foreign entities of concern, or FEOCs, for electric vehicle battery production. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have episode one of my three-part series with Pamela Fierce-Walsh. Pamela, first of all, welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me today.
Thanks, Tom. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Pamela, today we're going to visit about something called the U.S. Foreign Entities of Concern, or FEOC, for EV battery production. And I wanted to start with, could you tell us what is the FEOC and what are the regs for EV battery production?
In short, FEOCs are referring to, in the context of EV batteries, where can your stuff come from or not come from in order to qualify for a whole lot of tax benefits under the bipartisan infrastructure law, as well as the Inflation Reduction Act. Under this, so let me say, the bipartisan infrastructure law, so this big piece of legislation passed in 2021, it gave the Department of Energy $6 billion for domestic battery material processing, manufacturing, and recycling. And under this, the Department of Energy can't share that $6 billion if the material processing applicants get their stuff from one of these FEOCs, if the manufacturing applicants get their stuff from one of these countries, and if the recycling applicants are exporting recovered critical materials from an FEOC. So it really ties back to, can you take advantage of this $6 billion in funding from the Department of Energy? Yes or no?
So you used the word bipartisan, and I really wanted to ask you a little bit about whether the bipartisan nature of the implementation of this law, whether or not it was bipartisan passed, and there was significant opposition by the Republican Party, but it seems to be in its implementation, there is widespread bipartisan support. Would that be a fair assessment in your opinion?
I don't know any elected official that doesn't want to bring dollars back to their region. If there are $6 billion on the line and you've got some constituents who could take advantage of it, my guess is you're pretty supportive.
What must the DOE prioritize under the bipartisan infrastructure law?
Again, they are looking at applicants for this money who are processing materials that don't come from any of those countries. And we're going to talk about what those countries are and how you determine them. They're looking for applicants who are not going to use battery material. supplied from one of those places. And they're looking at recycling applicants who are not exporting recovered critical minerals to one of those places. So they're not sending it off. One thing to think about when you're looking at battery supply chains, Tom, is that it's not just about where the material comes from in the earth. It's also about how do you take that raw ore and process it into something that's usable. And then once you've got something that's usable, how can you reuse that at the end of its life? And so these regulations around the countries that they can, so that manufacturers can source from or manufacture in, are really about ensuring that the domestic nature of the supply chain is brought back to the United States and or to kind of friendlies, right? Not just the United States, but places that are not foreign entities of concern. So you're not just talking about where's the mine that the stuff comes from, but the whole supply chain.
And I really love that concept of reshoring built into this. But the other thing that intrigued me, as many compliance professionals listen to this podcast, so they're going to be very aware of risk, and risk either in terms of doing business with certain class of individuals, such as government officials or employees of state-owned enterprises. But I'm intrigued here by the risk in supply chains, as you just articulated, from a geographic area or a specific country, I should say, but also individual entities or companies who might be on the OFAC specially designated list, or specially designated nationals list. Could you really talk to us about that component of supply chain risk?
Yeah. So first, you're just basically asking, like, what is a foreign entity of concern? And how do you know if yours is, if your battery or your mineral supply chain is at risk? So the first thing to think about is that there are several ways to know what a foreign entity of concern is, including, is it a terrorist organization? Hopefully you're not sourcing any of your stuff from a terrorist organization. But have you checked the OFAC list, the Office of Foreign Assets Control from the Department of Treasury? Have you checked their list to make sure that you don't have any specially designated nationals in your supply chain? So those are people, those are companies that are listed by the Department of Treasury for any number of reasons that under U.S. law, we've decided they should be excluded from the U.S. financial system. And then there's also is the foreign entity determined by the Secretary of Energy, along with defense and state, to be doing things that the United States thinks are against U.S. national security. At its core, the FEOC right now, in addition to anybody who's listed as an SDN, is you're really talking China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia. And those are really important things to recognize, because most compliance professionals are going to go, oh, we know where our tier one supplier comes from. We know they're listed in country X and it's not one of those four places. So we're probably fine. But supply chains are long and they're complex, Tom. So if you're looking at risk and you're sourcing a material that, say, perhaps is heavily dominated in the market by Russian sources, you want to make sure that your tier two and your three are able to account for where they come from. Otherwise, they're not getting that access to $6 billion under this piece of legislation. And there are other implications for sourcing from a foreign entity of concern, to be clear. It's not just this pot of money. But for EV battery manufacturing, that's a pretty big pot of money you want access to. And it probably means that your supply chain, as currently configured, needs to be examined.
So you just hinted at the legal ramifications of working with a specially designated national or someone who's had to receive that designation, and the importance of understanding literally all the way down your supply chain. But what I really like is you brought out sort of the business reason. One business reason is to have access to this pot of money under the act, but also, and I know you have experience in this, why is it so important to literally understand from a business perspective all the way down your supply chain, and what benefits does that give a company?
Where do I start, Tom? Prior to COVID, I think the answer would have been really different. It's remarkable how many times I'm asked this question, but the answer is always the same. If you want to know where your company is at risk, you need to know your supply chain. It's a shame that supply chains are complicated, but that is the reality. If you want to know where your risk lies, you have to know where your stuff is coming from. And there are a lot of reasons why you have to know where your stuff is coming from. It could be because consumers care. It could be because you need to know for the improvement of your transportation network. Or it could be because you want access to a whole lot of money made possible for the U.S. economy. There are a lot of reasons why. Before COVID, the number of companies I spoke to who just declared it was impossible to know what their supply chains were suddenly learned pretty quickly, pretty deep into their supply chains, where the problems were. I like to think that if you'd had a solid mapping of your supply chain and the risks associated, some of those shocks, while they were always going to be severe for such a historic time, may have been a little bit more buffered.
And one of the most prescient things I heard coming out of the pandemic was something along the lines of, we've moved from disaster recovery to business resiliency to business as usual. And the consuming public, your purchasing base, your customers, they really don't care if the entire continent of Africa is shut down and not available to you for whatever the reason may be, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's political unrest, whether it's some geographic dispute, they don't care. It's like, okay, what are you going to do tomorrow? And I think the message you have articulated for quite some time has gotten out, but I want our listeners to understand you don't do that just to comply with this law. You don't do that to comply with things like the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. You do that because there's a equally, or if not more important, business reason to do that. And that business reason combines with all of these other reasons to make understanding the risk in your supply chain, I think, a business critical risk management requirement.
Absolutely, Tom. 100%. You said it perfectly.
I've practiced that a long time. It only took me a long time to learn that too. Let me end by talking about, or asking you rather, to talk about some of the restrictions in the bill and the big so what for consumers. So what do you see, or rather, who is overseeing the application of the FEOC definitions? How can a company either interact with the DOE or at least avail themselves of information going forward?
Okay. Under the bill, the bipartisan infrastructure law, it's the Department of Energy that oversees the FEOC definitions because they're the keepers of the $6 billion. And that, again, that pot of money is meant to support domestic battery material processing, manufacturing, and recycling. As for the big so what for consumers, you're going to have to wait till the next episode when we talk about the Inflation Reduction Act.
I'd like to take a step back and focus on the phrase you use, because I hadn't done that through this podcast. And that phrase was domestic battery material processing, manufacturing, and recycling. Could you maybe end by saying a few words about each part of those three components and how you see that fitting into moving the American economy forward?
So again, this gets to supply chains, which are just that, they're chains. And when you're talking about manufacturing products like an EV battery, or specifically EV batteries, the whole manufacturing supply chain starts from the moment it comes out of the earth to the moment it's put into an EV battery and made a car, right? That is the supply chain. If you were talking about a petroleum-based economy, you'd say right from where the oil comes out of the earth to where it's refined, to where it's transported and separated and made into other usable commodities. It's a similar thing with EV battery manufacturing. It's just, we're talking about minerals, we're not talking about petroleum. So you're talking about, where are you processing the stuff? You've taken it out of the earth. Now, where are you transforming that ore into? We're taking that lithium rock and transforming it into something that can be used into a lithium battery for the purposes of a computer or a cell phone. And then where are you manufacturing that computer or that cell phone? Are you doing it in the United States, or are you doing it in an allied country or a place that is allowed under these regulations? Or are you doing it in one of those FEOCs that's listed? And then if you're recycling materials, say you're taking materials from that's been used and you're putting into something, Are you getting that recycled material from one of those FEOCs? It's every part of that supply chain, Tom. So beginning to end, how your product comes to market and then where it goes after.
Pamela, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode. But before we leave, I wanted to ask you, if our listeners wanted more information on yourself or perhaps get in touch with you, what might be the best way to do so or a place to go?
I'd love them to hit me up on LinkedIn, Tom. Pamela Fierst-Walsh, CEO of PFW Advisory LLC.
And I hope our listeners will join us next time where we take up one of my favorite laws, the Inflation Reduction Act. Pamela, thanks again. I look forward to continuing this conversation.
Thanks so much, Tom.
This is Tom Fox again. Thank you so much for listening to this part one of a special three-part series with Pamela Fierst-Walsh on U.S. and EU regulation pertaining to electric vehicle batteries. I hope you will join us tomorrow for part two, where we take up the impact of the Inflation Reduction Act on EV batteries. I hope you will communicate and link with Paula. She'd love to hear from you. I've listed her contact information in the show notes. We look forward to visiting with you tomorrow. If you're interested in this topic, or if you're interested in doing a special multi-part series, please contact me at tfox@tfoxlaw.com and let's discuss what the podcast format and my network can do for you.